All right, back on the Chad AC Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Thank you very much for tuning in on an open line Friday. A lot happening nationally and internationally as well. Joining me right now to share his thoughts on quite a few of the topics going on out there, U.S. Senator John Cornyn. Senator Cornyn, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Chad. Good to be with you.
Well, appreciate you coming on today. Let's start off with Eric Holder announcing yesterday that he would be stepping down. You know, I think that becomes official whenever their replacement is found and confirmed and all of that, but he is resigning. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've long been a critic of the Attorney General for the sole reason that, you know, having been a state Attorney General myself, that role is, to me, a special job, one that your job is to uphold and enforce the law. And I'm afraid that they've fallen in the trap of being just another political arm of the White House and not being the chief law enforcement officer of the country, or at least acting like it. So I think it's time for some new blood, but I hope the president doesn't try to jam the Senate here during the so-called lame duck session after the election. I don't think they're going to have the time to do it, and I just hope that they are smart enough to realize that would poison the well and really start the next attorney general off on the wrong foot in terms of his potential for any kind of success.
What do you think Holder's legacy, if you want to call it a legacy, what do you think he'll be remembered for? Or do you think it'll be viewed differently if you're a Republican versus a Democrat?
Well, let's just talk about the facts. He's the first attorney general to my knowledge that's ever been held in contempt of Congress. And in an administration that touts itself as the most transparent in American history, he invoked, and the president backed him up, a claim of executive privilege to hide documents that Congress should have been able to get access to in the Fast and Furious investigation. And then there's things like suing the state of Texas over the voter ID law, which, as you know, Chad, you can get a free voter ID in Texas. It's hardly a burden on anybody and in terms of their right to vote, but it does help protect the integrity of the vote for everyone who is legally qualified to vote. Yet the Attorney General tried to make this a symbol of suppression of the right to vote, which is utterly false. And so I think, you know, it's pretty well, I think his legacy is not going to be a good one, shall I say.
Visiting with U.S. Senator John Cornyn. Let's take a look on the international scene, what's happening in Syria. There's been a lot of debate about whether or not the president needs to get authorization for what's happening in Syria. Where do you come down on this side, and what do you think the operation needs to look like in Syria and Iraq and anywhere else ISIS may be?
Yeah, I think first of all, the president needs to listen to the military experts, his generals, his secretaries of defense, former Bob Gates and Leon Panetta. And so we need a fulsome strategy and not just airstrikes where we blow things up and we pat ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves for having done what is literally very little to stop this threat. So we need to put the politics aside and figure out what's the right strategy. And the president has yet to come forward with that. Rather, he has said what he would not do. And he's famously reiterates time and time again, no American boots on the ground. Well, the fact is we already have about 2,000 of them on the ground assisting Iraqi forces and the Kurdish forces to turn back this threat. So I think for several reasons the president should come to Congress and get a further authorization. One, because I think the Constitution requires it, but there's a more practical reason. How in the world do you get the American people behind a country, our country, that's at war, without making the case to a bipartisan majority of Congress and getting their support? I think otherwise the president's way out on a limb all by himself, and when things turn badly, which they invariably will at some point, then he's out there all by himself. I just think it's prudent and it's the wise thing to do, and it also happens to be the constitutional requirement.
If he were to bring that to the Senate tomorrow, or whenever everyone's back. But if he were to bring it to y'all, how would you vote?
Well, I think first question I would ask, Chad, is what is your strategy to win? You know, not is what is your what are your tactics you're going to use, you know, how many bombs or cruise missiles you're going to shoot off, but how do you expect this to conclude? I remember very clearly General Petraeus, who was head of our forces in Afghanistan and Iraq, head of CENTCOM, who said the question you always want to ask when you go to war is how does this end? We know how it can start, but we don't really know how this one's going to end. And as a result of our really fecklessness sitting on the sidelines for the last couple of years without a comprehensive strategy, we've seen almost 200,000 Syrian civilians dead. We've seen millions of Syrians and other refugees displaced in surrounding countries, and it's very destabilizing and dangerous. So I think if the president doesn't have a comprehensive strategy, what we can do in the course of the debates is to help him and help the country come up with such a strategy and authorize the president to execute it. But right now he doesn't have one, so I can't tell you. I wouldn't vote for an open-ended, no-strategy process.
Visiting with U.S. Senator John Cornyn, do you believe that ISIS, ISIL, the Islamic State, is a immediate threat to the United States?
I do believe they are a threat. And the timetable upon which they could actually hit the United States, I think, is uncertain at this point. But clearly what they've done is they've basically overrun the Iraqi military that we've trained and equipped over these last years. And they've erased the border between Syria and Iraq. And this is the vacuum that we've always known is dangerous to us, because if there's any lesson we learned on 9/11, it is that a vacuum, these safe havens, are dangerous because people like Al-Qaeda, like ISIL, and these other terrorist organizations will use this to organize, train, and then export their terror to surrounding regions and eventually even to the United States. The biggest threat to the United States at this point, Chad, is the fact that we've had documented over 100 Americans who've gone over to help ISIL fight, and we know they have American passports, and they can easily melt into the general demographic landscape. And so this is a danger to us and other countries that have the visa waiver program. In other words, all you need is a passport, and if you're a member, a citizen of the United Kingdom or the United States, you can freely travel and come back and cause a lot of trouble.
Why is that? Why are American citizens, I know we get into some legal issues there, American citizens who go over, they train with Islamic extremists, they fight alongside them in Syria and Iraq, you know, possibly shooting at U.S. soldiers or whomever may be over there. Why are they allowed back into the United States?
Well, I don't think they should be without being closely observed and maybe tracked. I can understand where the FBI or other law enforcement officials, once they've identified them, might want to take their time, listen to their conversations, see who they're meeting with and associating with in order to break up a larger terror plot. But I don't, you know, then ultimately what I think you're talking about is treason. So treason is a very serious crime and one that deserves the harshest punishment. I know Senator Cruz has a proposal that is much like one Joe Lieberman had years ago, where somebody who is proven to be a terrorist who's gone to fight with the enemy against the United States and against our interests could have their citizenship stripped from them. But, of course, that would take...
Joey, we're visiting with Senator John Cornyn, and who's breaking up a little bit there on the phone, so I want to make sure that we still have him, or if the phone line broke up there, that maybe he can give us a call back. Yes or no? Yep. Okay, so we're good to go. All right, Senator Cornyn, your phone started breaking up there. We couldn't hear anything you said.
Oh, it's that new iPhone. I'm sorry. Must be
oh, no. Oh, don't tell Apple that. Senator, let me ask you about dysfunction in Washington, D.C., something that you've spoken about quite a bit. You had a piece on Fox News where you were talking about governing and about the time that you've spent in the Senate, that right now it's unrecognizable, that it's a place of theater. Now, tell
That's
our listeners what you mean by that.
Well, people expect government to work on their behalf, to protect their interest and advance their way of life, to protect the American people, to provide the physical security that we all want, the economic security by creating an environment where jobs can be created and people can find good work and provide for their families. And we need to have the health security, too, something we don't have under the Affordable Care Act. So what's happened, Chad, is over the last few years, the House has passed 380-plus bipartisan pieces of legislation, and they've come to die in the Senate. And the reason for that is no other reason than that Senator Reid, the majority leader, has decided that he's not going to allow any votes on any controversial issues that might hurt his vulnerable incumbent Democrats in this midterm election in 39 days. So that's... I lay the responsibility at Senator Reid's feet for taking what used to be known as the world's greatest deliberative body and turning it into a killing field for good bipartisan legislation that would be in the interest of the American people.
If Republicans take back the Senate in the midterm elections, do you think things start to come together? Because there are disagreements among Republican members of the Senate.
Well, I've noticed that too, Chad, and we're... You know, one of the things is when you're in the minority, it's you can say no, and many times I should say that saying no is the right and principled answer. But when you're in the majority, you have a different responsibility, and that's a responsibility to govern, and that's to look for common ground where you can find it, not to run away from or discard your principles, far from it, but to actually make the government work in the interest of the American people. So this is going to be a test for us, because if we can't make the government work, if we can't govern, then I think it's going to be very hard for us to win the White House in 2016. But if we can, and we must govern these next 2 years, then I think the American people will regain their confidence in us and our ability to govern and listen to our principled arguments on how conservative principles are ones the most consistent with the American dream.
Senator Cornyn, appreciate your time today. We'll visit with you again soon.
Thanks, Chad.
Have a good one.